Session number 17675, Sergeant Fred White, Reel 14.
Sergeant White, Reel 14. I think you were saying that when you'd done the drill course, you had to fire a...
Then we had to fire a rifle. But no, I hadn't fired a rifle since we left India.
Was it still the same rifle?
Not exactly. It was still the Lee Enfield, but when we was in India, we used to have the back sight was what you call the U back sight.
Yes.
And year before I left India, they changed it to the aperture back sight.
Yes.
Why, I don't know, but I'd always been a marksman. But the year they changed and I fired with that rifle, I didn't do so good. I only came out as a first class shot. Mm. Now, when it came to father's rifle, I still had a rifle which was the aperture back sight. Now we had some what we call misplaced persons in Germany. They could bring sort of any Poles, Germans or anything.
You are. Refugees.
Yeah, refugees. They've been put in sort of as a security unit to do guards in places. And I found out that they still had rifles as well. And lo and behold, they had the old U-back sight. So I went along to their superintendent and said, I want to borrow a rifle. So I took this rifle down, had it zeroed on the range. And the officer there had been there some weeks because he was different people coming in a couple of days doing their course, and he was doing it with them. Of course, he was dead-eyed dick sort of thing. And he said, anybody beats me gets a carton of cigarettes, you know, like that. Well, when I got down with this rifle, I couldn't do anything wrong. But that U-back sight, I beat him hands down. and got down with the brain gun and did the same thing there. I couldn't do anything wrong with it. It all came back to me.
Like riding a bicycle?
Yeah. On the course there.
The Bren gun presumably was still the same.
Yes. The Bren gun was the same. Yeah. Yeah. I was quite pleased with myself over that.
Bet you were. Yeah.
And then we had to do trade tests then. So you had, on the RSC, you had supplies, as part of the food for the army, petrol, and barrack services.
What about ammunition?
No, ammunition came under ordnance.
All right.
So, the only thing is, you had to pass a trade test on all of them.
And had you done any training in petrol and food?
No, you just went on this course, you got taken on the course, say, in the petrol thing. We went to a place called Nienburg, and quite an interesting place to look at because the Germans had built a big petrol depot there underground. Great big tanks or message tank all down underground. And it's all centralised to a certain office that if anybody went down to one of these tanks, immediately a red light would come on, somebody on duty there. And every 15 minutes, he had to contact back again because of the fumes.
Yes. Safety measure.
Safety measure it was, because I'd be too long down there, you'd become unconscious. Mm. All right, we had to know how to calibrate these big tanks or road tankers, everything to do with POL.
How long did that course take?
Was on that for 2 weeks, about. And then we had to go on supplies, went to a big supply depot, how the contracts were made at War Office and put out. The firms weren't allowed to put their name on the cartons of food or whatever it was, how it was stored, how it was issued out and all that type of thing. Of course, so then we had to go on a course for barrack services.
Which you've been doing for years.
Which we've been doing, so you had to still go to somebody there, which was dead easy. Anyway, you got... once you pass them, you've got a trade pay for it as well. So it wasn't very nice to do. And then after I'd done that, other people behind me had to go on courses. And to do the barrack services thing when I was in Oldenburg, they sent them to me. I had to take them through it.
So you were an instructor.
And do the trade test as well. So I thought that was another feather in my cap.
You're saying that when you left the army, how many years' service had you done when you left?
Including boys' service, just over 27 years.
And was that made you time expired then?
Yes.
Yeah. Was there any way you could have stayed in the army?
I don't think so at that time. No, that was progressively getting rid of the old ones.
What happened to you after you left the army?
Well, I left the army and settled down in Abbey Wood, South East London. Not far from Woolwich, where I went to school and lived. Didn't have a job to go to straight away, but for 6 months I worked as a bank messenger in the city at London in the Barclays Overseas Bank. I was only going to treat it as a stopgap because I'd already been registered for barrack services as a civilian.
You'd done that before you left the army?
Yeah, I left that before I was in the army. You do that in your last year.
Yes.
And about 6 months afterwards, I got a letter saying, would I attend an office in Whitehall, the possible selection as a barrack accountant as a civilian. So went up to Whitehall, had the interview, the barrack officer at Woolwich, by the way, which I was very interested in. And the barrack officer was there, was at Woolwich. They questioned me what I knew about it. And of course, being on barrack services before, I sort of walked into it. So I started off then at Woolwich. I was there for 6 years. I was about accountant for on Murray quarters, mostly officers' quarters there. And then they were asking people to go to Germany because the military people over there were being taken over by English civilians.
They're being run down.
Yes. So I volunteered for it and was accepted. Everything was done. Paperwork, passports and all that. And now I had a letter saying it was cancelled. No reason given whatsoever. So we had belonged to a union sort of thing, and we had a local secretary. I said, well, can I know more about why it has been? Now, the chap in, I was posted to Huberwath, which is just outside of Düsseldorf.
Yes.
And the chap there was going to be a cross-posting with me. And he wrote to me and said, I heard you're not coming and I don't know where I'm going. So our local secretary then took it up with the head office. And they went to, somebody in War Office, I suppose. Why? Now, I don't know if you remember the Vassal spy case?
Yes.
Now, that happened about the same time. And they said, oh, he's not being posted here because he's got a German wife and it would be a security risk. I could have done my nut on that. I mean, where I was going to work was all Germans. So where's the security risk? I couldn't understand it. Some clotter at War Office got a bee in his bonnet and thought, because I was married to a German girl, she was going to make it a security risk. So I was told, keep quiet, don't say anything, we'll take it up. And which they did do. And apparently they told somebody at War Office, unless you reinstate him back on his job, on his posting, he said, we'll make the biggest noise we can about it. And they backed down.
So you did go out?
I still went out there. Mm. And I went out there as a bout accountant. Old German staff, although there was English folk like me in the stores. I had to look after. Incidentally, there was guards there. I had the Irish and the 1st Grenadier Guards there, and a brigade HQ.
How did you get on with the guards?
Very well. I was a bit nervous
about going up there.
I thought myself, these guards feel what they're going to be like, you know, yes. to work with them. And I also had another unit in Wuppertal, an infantry unit. So, first day there, the brigade headquarters got hold of me and said, Mr. White, welcome. Gave me a card. I remember the Sergeant's Mess straight away. And was there till the day I left.
So you had a good time with the Gold Sergeant?
We got on very well with them. One time I thought it might have been a bit shaky because it was the Grenadiers as all. Before a unit moves out, I was supposed to give a prelim inspection of the place.
Before they march out of
the place. And went round the officer's mess. And it was a bit of a mess.
What?
Well, they hadn't been looking after the place, to tell you the truth. They do draw up supplies and are supposed to do a certain amount of maintenance work themselves. So I thought, well, I better put the bag officer in the picture about this. It was in Wuppertal, so I wrote a report about it, you know, just what I'd found, hoping that he would have a quiet word with the QM. No, he didn't do that. All he did was pass my letter to the Grenadier Guards. I thought, well, this is not very good, because I got told about it. No, he didn't say another word to me. But behind the scenes, they started putting the officer's message straight again.
So they were maintaining. They did put it right before they marched out.
They did do, yes. Yeah. But I thought it would have been more diplomatic and had a quiet word. But no, just passed my letter on. So perhaps, what do you think about this sort of thing?
Yes,
it would have made things a bit difficult for me with the unit. And you're supposed to keep on good relations with them and all that.
But you didn't get a bad reaction.
No.
Well, evidently, they must have thought your comments were justified.
Well, I suppose they had a look at it and said, yeah, well, we better do something about it. We don't want a bad name against the guards, which they do think of, don't they?
They do, yes. Mm. Very jealous of their reputation.
Yes, I know that. But I got on very well with them, though.
It seems to me that whilst you'd left the army formally, you really remained part of it.
Yes, I did do. Mm. I mean, what I did was change into civilian clothes and did the same job.
What do you think was of particular value to you that you learned from being in the army?
I don't know. Value, I suppose, is, all I should say, is behaviour. Discipline in life and on all aspects of it. After all, you make good friends and appreciate them. Some people you don't like, but you just get on with it, though. I didn't like my first part of the army life.
When you were a boy?
Well, on boy service, that wasn't very good at all. But afterwards, I did like the army. That's the same. No, I don't think it's a lot now, not only what I did as a civilian over there and then back here again.